The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Pete and Steve. Guys, this week, take part a bit more, yeah? Last week, you hardly said anything. Hey!
Just you are recording us this week.
I'm just checking. Say 1-2-1-2.
Okay. 1-2-1-2.
Yes, it's recording. Yes. In fact, we did say we should call this the register because you guys are single, live on your own, and this is after Des O'Connor passed away last week. In fact, Des O'Connor was a good gag, wasn't it? After you text that Des O'Connor's died, you can tell that when we in the WhatsApp group when it's real because. You know, it comes from nowhere. It's like completely unrelated. I haven't said that. Steve's tweets come from absolutely nowhere. Texts, I mean. There's no sort of rhyme or reason to them. But Pete, just halfway through a conversation, said, Des O'Connor's dead. I thought, that must be true, because you wouldn't just come off the top of your head with that.
And, I don't know. He's come up with Stranger Things.
Yeah. And I came up back straight away with Des O'Connor. I thought, you know, a bit insensitive, but it just came to me. I thought it was quite good, didn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, but he was a nice guy, apparently, Des. But he went the right way. 88, he died, Des. He was like, died in his sleep. I always remember this, watching Des O'Connor on TV, his big show, primetime ITV. And he said, right now, I'm going to introduce a singer, or I think it's going to be big stuff in the future. She's doing very well at the moment. And I was in the radio industry, you know, playing pop songs. So I knew quite a, you know, the upcoming stars and all that stuff and new stars. And I thought this lady came on and sang a song. I thought, who is this? Who is that? I've never seen her before in my life. Anyway, next day in the papers is, did you see Des introducing his wife on the TV show? He literally got his wife singing on TV. She didn't break it, though, but apparently a lovely guy. Anyway, there we are. Boys, lots of stuff coming up on the Weekend Podcast. I've got active versus passive investing. I've got the coronavirus hotspot quiz, which is good. Broker accounts, Pfizer versus Madonna versus AstraZeneca. Mind the gap, Titanic COVID gap. Ramp chat. Our share price targets game, we've got that coming up as well because Paddy's out of that on Solid Potash. First of all, let's start off with active versus passive, right? How many trades you made in the last week, boys?
Zero.
None.
One.
That's good.
Oh, well, you made, Pete.
I bought some more on the market at the start of the week before it went up nicely.
That's
thanks
good.
Very much.
Well, do you know what? Yeah, it's good. Yeah, nice. I think on the markets, you know, massive difference. I did put a GIF out. Thanks for your feedback on that, guys. I was trying to compare the metrics between on the market and Rightmove. And yeah. I did send you a couple of things on WhatsApp. No feedback whatsoever. For like several hours, in fact, an entire day, pretty much. In the end,
there were just so many words.
I know. I broke it into a GIF. Yeah, I know.
Just stressed me out. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know. Option. Yeah. So do you know what? So I did a poll yesterday on Twitter. On average, how many trades do you do a month? Okay. 69% said less than 10. 17.4% 10 to 20. And 21 to 30 was 4.2, but 9% do over 30 trades. Sort of, I suppose I was in that category. Now I'm not.
Traders.
Yeah,
traders.
Dirty traders. I am now 2 weeks without a trade. No buys.
What have you been doing with your days?
No sales. I've been making GIFs and stuff. GIFs and looking for feedback on WhatsApp groups.
Yeah. Just videos of Joe Biden playing drums.
Huh? That was good. If you look at the original video of that guy, so it's Joe Biden. It's a Turkish guy, apparently. The cat meme follows him around everywhere. But the Turkish guy on a drum. If you look at the original video, I put it in the WhatsApp group. It's mesmeric, that guy, the way he's doing it. It's very
quite
odd.
Hypnotic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But worth looking. But someone put Joe Biden on the drums, Trump dancing, and the cat dancing as well. I loved that.
Getting into it. The cat made it for me.
Yeah. People have said that. Okay, boys, here we go, right? The thing is, I want to have no trades now for as long as possible, and I just want to sit here because I think the companies I have will do multiples of where they're at, and so I just want to continue to hold them. And a lot of times I've jumped out of stocks with impatience, you know, completely impatient, and then I've seen it go on to do very well. And it's so annoying that happening. And especially in the stocks I'm in, because I believe they have sustainable, you know, rises coming. They're based off fundamentals, not just off hot air and news. So I want to just hold in there, just hold it for a long time.
Do you feel that, like, we're heading for a little bit of a drop? Like, it's risen so sharply on this vaccine news recently. a lot of stock. Yes. It feels like it'll drop off.
That's a very good subject, Pete, and I'm coming to that in a bit. Now, but first of all, I want to do a quiz. Right, I want to get you involved because last week we weren't involved at all because of my fault.
To be honest, I listened to it and didn't really notice the difference.
Yeah, someone said it was me a bit like talking to voices in my head, which is
which is kind of what you do anyway.
So listen, it's time for this is what the Scottish government should do in the coronavirus updates. It's time for our coronavirus hotspot quiz, right? I will give you a point for every location you guess. I'll take it in turns, go around you in turns, right? That you guess that is in the top 20 most popular places you're likely to catch COVID, right? And these the sources are from PHE England, all right? So Public Health England. All right, so we'll start off. Now, obviously, this is a big obvious one. I was going to take that out of the equation, but I'll keep it in there. So let's start with, I think we go back, reverse alphabetical order. Steve, start. It's got to be a specific place. I don't want to say, you know, outside. It's got to be specific, like a building or a certain building. So
are we talking cities?
No, we're talking locations. So, for example, you could say restaurant or something like that kind of thing. You know, where are you likely to catch?
There's
a list of top 20 places you're most likely to catch COVID. All right. Steve, start off, fella.
School.
I've got to be more specific, Steve. School is there, but I've got to be more specific. In fact, I'll move on.
High school.
form 3P with Mrs. Jones. No, that's too specific, Steve. So I'm going to move on. Pete.
Escape rooms.
No! Who are you doing that? This is our investment there. Paddy.
Supermarkets.
So yes, number one answer. You are 18.3% of the people on Track and Trace caught it, apparently, in a supermarket. That is number one answer.
How can Paddy have supermarket and I can't have school?
Because it's a certain different kinds of school, Steve, and one school is more, you know, you're more infectious than the other part of another
school.
Paddy, wait there, right. So you've had your turn.
Oh, it's
strike that from the record, please. Right, Steve, back to you.
A boat.
Paddy just said an answer. You didn't go with it. A boat. A boat is not on the list, Steve. 0 points. Paddy's got 1 point. Pete.
Yeah. Secondary school.
Secondary school is the second most popular place you're most likely to catch the coronavirus. 12.7% of people is there. So, okay, point for you two guys. Who's back to Paddy?
Warehouse.
A warehouse, 2.2%, spot on. Paddy's in the lead here now. 2 points to Paddy.
I think Paddy's Googled this.
Steve.
I think Paddy read the same news article.
Steve.
A bar.
Yeah, but do you know what? You first point for Steve, he's off the mark, but a bar, only 1.6% chance, apparently, catching it in a bar or a pub. So compared to 18% for a supermarket and 12% for a school.
You can see why all the bars are so angry about all this.
Yeah, they're shut. And you think about it, you know, most people go to a supermarket, most people go to a bar, don't they? So anyway, so off the mark, Paddy's still in the lead. So it's back to, who is it now? Whose turn is it?
Me.
Go on,
restaurants.
Pete. Restaurant, right? Surprises this. It's the lowest in the top 20. Restaurant or cafe, 1%. And I think that's why they're very angry, saying we are putting all our social distancing rules in and you shut us down, you... Anyway, I'm a bit late. Do you know, I'm a bit late to start on the podcast because we're putting our deck...
I think the thing I noticed when I was reading the same article that you're reading from now is that these numbers are from the 9th to the 15th of November. So this is during lockdown. So half of these places shouldn't be open. So restaurants and cafes shouldn't be open.
So it's just the manager on his own.
People jumped on these and got very excited about these numbers. Like gyms were like, yeah, look, it proves... I mean, gyms are pretty safe, but gyms and pubs and restaurants got very excited about these numbers. But these numbers reflect a week when they weren't open, so you'd expect them to be quite low.
How was that 1%?
Yeah, I know, but how is that? Is it just a cafe owner caught it himself, off himself or something? How do you do that?
Yeah,
so,
maybe.
This
is a nonsense quiz, then.
First of all, three, okay? So one more answer we need. Paddy's on two, Pete's on two. So whose turn is it? It's Steve's again. Go on, Steve.
Well, now I know it's during lockdown. That kind of eliminates a few options now, doesn't it? I don't know what was around.
Where do people get treated, Steve?
Oh, the GPs.
The GPs. Do you think they'd have the GPs on there?
Oh, the doctors.
The doc, no, well, hospital is the fourth.
Hospital.
So, yeah, so it's basically a supermarket, secondary school, primary school, hospital, 3.6%. That's quite surprising. 3.6% is quite low, isn't it, for Oswald? Care home, 2.8%. College, 2.4%. Warehouse, 2.2%. Yeah, so that was the thing. So I'd give it a Paddy.
Well, they're
anyway.
All quite low numbers then.
Compared to, yeah, I mean, there's only three in double digits, and that's supermarket, secondary school, primary school. And so, yeah.
What was the percentage? What's the score? What the chance of you catching it?
That's where apparently the percentage of people have caught it. That's where they've been. They'll now, trace it back.
As Pete has mentioned, these are flawed.
Highly flawed.
When we were in the lockdown, there was no actual testing, like mass testing going on anyway. So how?
No, this is from the app. So this is the test and trace app.
Yeah, the app, and they've gone back.
But that wasn't out during lockdown, though.
Yeah. No, this is for the last week.
Yeah. Oh,
quite,
okay. Yeah.
Quite current. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If this year's taught us anything, is that data can be spun in many different ways, and we're
absolutely
rubbish at statistics as a country.
Yeah, but you're just saying
also
that.
Like, yeah, I would have thought the number one place of transmission is in people's homes, and that's not on there at all.
Yeah, I agree. But essentially, Paddy won the quiz, so you're just a bit bitter, I think. Peter.
Brilliant. Okay, that's fine. How are we kind of weaving this into stocks and shares?
No, because listen. We are now, this is the whole thing, is it? The most, when you look at the markets, right, you've got to look at what worries the markets, because the markets climb what's called a wall of worry sometimes. And you've got to look at what are the obstacles to making the market rally further, you know? And I think three things. I tweeted today, apparently EU sort of diplomat seniors in the Brexit deal are saying there's a 95% chance now of getting a deal done. They're quite confident. A little bit of anxiety left, but they're quite confident. I said, right, get this out of the way. Presidential election as well, because Trump's still refusing to go, like a simpleton. And coronavirus. Those are the three big things. Coronavirus, I think, is probably the biggest thing, of course, because it affects so many businesses. So, but we've had, like, Pfizer came out with 90%, then Moderna came out with 94.5%, then Pfizer came back out with 95% on extra data, this is including older people, and then we've had AstraZeneca come out. But isn't it amazing how the markets didn't quite rally. The markets get blasé on the honest price in. Didn't quite rally as much as the one on Pfizer. But even though Moderna seemed to be better, it didn't rally as much, but Pfizer's come back now. But we are literally, I think within the next 2 weeks, Pfizer yesterday put into the FDA for clearance on their drug. 2 weeks it'll probably take, and it'll be distributed. And we've got, how many of that dose we got? I think total is about 40 million, but we're not going to get that this year. But I think we could be seeing people being vaccinated before the end of the year, and there's rumours in the paper that everyone will be done in this country by April. Now, if you can look beyond that, you know, markets opening back up, it's going to rat. Who's really? Who's strangling a rat or something? Yeah, or a hamster?
Paddy.
Stop strangling the hamster, Pad.
I'm not strangling. There's no hamsters here.
Okay. So, yeah, I think we're going to be, you know, that's, I think we're, and markets will look ahead to that. So I think we'll see a massive rally. I'm still saying that the last couple of weeks of December, I think generally is a good chance of happening. I think it's 2/3 of the chance of it happening. And people all say, where's the Santa rally? Santa rally doesn't happen until the last 5 trading days of the year. But then generally it's over a 66% chance of it happening. Something like that. So
didn't happen last year.
No, it didn't happen last year because there was something going on, wasn't there? People sort of knew, something was happening.
The virus.
Yeah, cause, well, there was reports of it, wasn't there? There was reports of it, and then China came out and said, oh, by the way, we've been eating bats, and we've got this virus thing happening. But listen, the big deal here, right, is AstraZeneca. You know, they have double the capacity of Moderna and Pfizer put together. Their vaccine doesn't have to be stored in minus 20 or minus 80. It can last, you know, for a long time out of a fridge area even. And the government's bought 100 million doses of that. So that together with the orders they've made with Pfizer and Moderna can cover our population. That's 160, 170 million doses. So double doses, so half that pretty much. You know, we got 65, 66 million in this country. So we don't need to vaccinate everyone anyway. And most people are saying, do you know what's amazing? People said, you know, I wouldn't trust. Again, on Twitter, I'm getting people saying, I get people with 40 followers, fake name, and a fake ID. You know, look, I had someone this week who was a cartoon superhero. Who's drinking that? You're drinking like a camel. Who is that, Steve? Is that you?
Yeah, sorry.
How many gulps are you taking then?
Yeah. You don't get this when you don't record us, do you?
That was what I missed, I know. Yeah. What are you drinking, Steve?
Well, it's just water, but I didn't realise how loud my microphone picked that up.
Yeah. So anyway, do you know what? Do you understand the efficacy rates and all that stuff? Do you understand that? I mean, it's slightly odd, you know, but people say, hang on, so basically it was tested on 8 people. I said, no, it wasn't tested on 8 people.
There's a fundamental, like these things are written for other medical professionals. And yeah. I think if as a layman, if you read them, you can understand the English, obviously, but you don't understand any of the context that it's written in. Mm. So a friend of mine sent me a thing this week, which was some document that the organisation which tests vaccines in the UK was talking about the fact that there's going to be lots of reports of adverse reactions to vaccines. Mm. And this was evidence, apparently, that these things are going to be terrible for us and really bad for our health. And I said, well what's the context of that? Like, what is an adverse reaction to start with? Are we counting just like a sore arm as an adverse reaction?
A headache.
Someone who feels a bit sick? Yeah. Like, without the context, you can't. You've got all these internet experts and YouTubers going wetting themselves about a vaccine and reading all these documents and thinking they're clever, but unless you actually understand it. Yeah,
this week, I'm not slagging him off, but I had Baz Logic, right? That's his name on Twitter. He's a nice guy by the sounds of it. He's got the a photo of Mr. Spock as his thing, and he's called Baz Logic, right? He was questioning the validity of the results. And I said, listen, I'm just putting the results out there. I didn't make them up. I don't work for Moderna or Pfizer. Maybe question the guys and the way they do this. This is the way they do it. So the way they do it, 41,000 people, for example, in the trial of Pfizer, right? Half are given the vaccine, half are given the placebo, right? So you can say 20-odd thousand people were given the vaccine. No health and safety concerns whatsoever, apart from a headache. I had that. I had a flu jab, you know, about 3 weeks back, and I had a headache and a sore arm. So that's the kind of side effects you get from that, because they're putting a bit of the disease or a bit of the virus into you, whatever, or stimulating it, you know, your hormones, antibodies. So you get that anyway, right? So half of them, 40. Let's be honest. If you're in a queue and there's 21,000 people there, and you're the last one in the queue, and no one had a problem with it safety-wise, would you say, no, it's not safe? I know 21,000 people have had it, but and they're all okay. I don't think it's safe. Why wouldn't you think it's safe? It's one of the safest things so far out there, you know, new virus vaccine.
It's just the time frame, isn't it? Because it's all happened very quickly.
Mm. But that's not necessarily, there was an amazing thread I was reading on Twitter from someone who does all of these things saying, don't read the speed of this as an issue. The only reason other vaccines take so long to do is just because we spend so much time faffing and waiting around for funding.
And also, funding, yes, and also they can't get the people. They can't get the people. When you're testing the vaccines on flus and viruses, you need people catching the virus. And because this is so prevalent, they can do it very quickly because there's lots of people catching it. Now, the reason why SARS and MERS didn't get a vaccine is because it pretty much died out before they can get enough people in the trial, because they need thousands of people in the trial. They got so many people now they can get in the trial because there's so many people catching it, so it's good. So when you see a flavour of infections, the positive side of that is it's good for clinical trials because people are catching it. So out of all these people, right, and they don't artificially infect people. It's not like a challenge study like Open Orphan do. They just let them go out in their society. They do they get a cross-section of society from different ethnic groups, different ages, all that stuff. And so they give half the placebo, half the vaccine, they let them get on with life, and they check in with them. And then some of them, of course, will catch coronavirus just in the normal day-to-day activity. So they brought all these people back in, they've caught it, and they had, 170 people now, Pfizer, all 170 people have caught coronavirus since they've had the two injections, both placebo and thing. And they found that of those 172, of the 170 people, 162 had the placebo, and only 8 had the vaccine. So that suggests, you know, go on those figures. And of course, before this happens, they do test immune response. They test whether there's an immune response. So they know it responds, like, as AstraZeneca phase 2. They know it responds to the virus, but they've got to test it live. They've got to get them out there, try and catch the disease, you know. And then the same kind of results came back with Moderna as well. And so the doctor said, no, they've basically 8 people efficacy on that. I said, what are you talking about? First of all, you know, 21,000 people have had the vaccine, 170 people have caught the virus, and of that, by far, 90% of the people who caught it, is that just coincidence, you think, didn't have the vaccine, and 8 did. And there's 2 trials have happened now, and this is live, as it's going, they get more data as people catch it, of course, because we're only at the start of this, but the end point they had to hit was safety, and they had to get to a certain level of people who've contracted the virus. And so they're getting these figures at 90%, and that's the way it's that's the way these trials are conducted, you know? So
yeah, so it's like there's two things then, isn't there? Like you if these anti-vax nutcases are they're either concerned about the safety of the virus or whether it's effective. So like there's 21,000 people that have been tested with this virus with this vaccine.
That's just Pfizer.
And there's nothing coming back that so far that's too worrying on that.
Yeah.
And then the efficacy, it seems to be pretty effective if there's only 8 people who caught the virus. And I guess probably of those people, those 8 people, it was probably a less severe, I mean, I'm guessing here, but a less severe case of it because they already had some antibodies.
The most important thing of all is safety. You don't want people's heads exploding when you give them a new drug. You know, that's the first thing.
How many heads have exploded so far?
No, so far what they've got is a couple of people with a sniffy nose, stiff arm, and a headache. You know, that's what they've got. And so people are worrying about their safety. So as all, safety isn't a worry. So that's the first thing you have to do. And then you have to, does it work? So safe, does it work? And so it's looking like it is working. And so people are still criticising it. And do you know what? All these foil tin. Was it hat wearing idiots? Well, literally, anyone who mentions mainstream media and then gives you a video of some guy on YouTube ranting on about something, I said, listen to this guy. No, I will not listen to that guy. So, am I going to turn away all the research from, say, you know, Financial Times, you know, The Times, the BBC, Bloomberg, all these sources, Reuters, all these sources, and then look at this guy on YouTube ranting away about some conspiracy theory? No, I'm not, sorry. I'm not. I'm going to trust the other sources that I have at my disposal rather than that maniac ranting away saying that 5G has been imported into our body. What was that about? 5G? Do you remember that? They're burning those antennas down. Yeah. And this guy said to me, have a look at this video on YouTube. This guy, old fella, he's a doctor, apparently, in his study. He looked like he hadn't had a wash for a while. His hair everywhere, just banging on about it. And I thought, I'm not going to watch this. 55 minutes of this guy talking nonsense. I thought, no, I'm not going to watch that at all.
It's okay to not be experts in things. Like, because you have access to information doesn't mean that you have to read it.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't make you an expert.
I kept saying, listen, these are the results. I said, I don't have the email of the CEO of Pfizer or Moderna, but I'm sure there's a contact us thing on their website. Contact them, tell them how the trial should be done, yeah? I know, it's ridiculous.
Go away.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think that the markets, I think, is going to rally on that. I think it's going to do very well. You know, I think next 2 weeks, we'll get all these worries out of them. Of course, the economy will, you know, stutter a little bit because I think there's a gap now. And I keep saying this. Last week, because we're living in close to Southampton, Monty, my youngest son, is homeschooled, right? Because she's got chronic lung disease thing. But it's not actually.
Did you say my English son?
Yeah, my English son, Monty, yes. But he's homeschooled, right? So he was studying Titanic, and we decided to watch Titanic last weekend on TV. You know, we got it from Amazon Prime. Amazon killing it in there. Wish I'd bought Amazon. Everything we buy these days is from Amazon. I wish I'd bought Amazon like 3-4 years ago. I know, I've got to stop doing it. I know they're evil.
It's quite easy to wean yourself off. It's an addiction.
I know, but I literally. But Megan's got access. She's got the app on her phone. It's linked to my account. I sometimes see her, wake up in the morning, it's like 7 emails saying, you know, Amazon deliver. Stop it! I just showed my inbox. I said, I wish I'd bought Amazon, say, you know, 5 years ago, something like that. Anyway, watching Titanic, right? And there's a scene in there where they get hit by the ice and they realise all of a sudden it's fatal damage to the ship. It's going down. And they ask the guy who built the ship, who said it couldn't be sunk, said, how long do you think it'll take? And he said, an hour, 2 hours tops before we're underwater. This water will kill you in a couple of minutes, it's so cold. And he said, okay, how long till the nearest boat comes? He said, about 4 hours. And so you can see them all trying to work out, there's a big gap in the maths here. So how are we going to spend? He said, we haven't got enough lifeboats for half the people. What's going to happen here? How are we going to spend 2 hours in the water when it'll kill you in a minute? You can't do it. It's not math. Now, this is the vaccine. The vaccine's a rescue boat, right? And the economy being shut down pretty much is the Titanic going down. So we will get there, you know. I mean, the difference is here, we will get there. It won't take there. But there's a gap, isn't there? And the vaccine won't be killing the virus fast enough. But what do you think? But we've got the pull and pull of looking forward to realising we'll get through it. But in the meantime, we've got a couple of months maybe where the majority, I don't think we should lock down again. Do you? I think if you vaccinate the vulnerable people, you know, protect the NHS there by doing that, there's not a problem, is there?
I don't know. I was wondering about Christmas. Like Christmas in my family is not a big deal.
We've been decorating just now.
Huh?
The reason I was late for the podcast, we put up the Christmas tree and decorations along with Christmas songs. And we got Lola, our dog, biting the tree, trying to pull it over, which is annoying. And the kids were nuts. And so Christmas is here. And I know a lot of people are saying about the Christmas late, but a lot of people, Christmas will inflate the infection, won't it?
You know? I just wonder how many people, whether actually just having a family Christmas, but not having that huge extended family Christmas might be quite a relief. Yeah. You know, not having the pressure of having to do that I think the government might be surprised how many people go, that's fine, don't worry.
Yeah. Well, and also the option of having 5 days of family over Christmas for another 25 days lockdown. I'm saying, no way, I do want that.
But you live around the corner, Steve. So some people are. But no, I agree with Paddy. Some people will say, listen, we would love to have your mother-in-law down again, you know, this year. But it's just the virus, you know. We'll do it over Zoom. You know, we'll do it over Zoom.
The internet's gone down, sorry.
That's the thing.
Everyone's on Christmas.
I'm just thinking about your mum, you know. I don't want her catching it, you know. It's better if she stays away.
Yeah, I know. So what I'm saying is, the market may be volatile. So we've got the push and pull. The economy is getting slightly worse for a while because we've had lockdown, we're going to a double dip recession, we've got all this bad news coming out. But that's largely in the rearview mirror. If you look forward, we realise by April pretty much everyone apart from the Tin Hat Brigade will be vaccinated. You know, anti-vax idiots will be vaccinated. And pretty much, as long as you... I think Megan was saying she was 2.5 million vulnerable people in the UK. So that's 5 million doses you need. That'll be done before January. So there'll be no pressure on the NHS... So we can all open back up. That's the thing I'm thinking of. So January, pretty much, you know, we'll be back to normal. You know, businesses, we're not. I mean, obviously, it'll struggle to get back to normal anyway. But I think we should just postpone Christmas maybe for a month and just say, let's say, if you want to have a Christmas, you know, have a week off, you know, or a weekend. We're having Christmas lunch tomorrow. We are. We're having Christmas lunch tomorrow.
What, on November 24th?
Yeah.
22nd.
I don't know why. Megan out shopping yesterday. She gets her best ideas when she's shopping. normally they end up in the basket. She said, Justin, this is a thought. Let's put the Christmas tree up this weekend, have Christmas, a mini Christmas, and then I've got some stuff, nice stuff for the kids. We can give them little presents and crackers and stuff. What do you think?
I said, why? It's because
it's been a miserable year and everyone's using that excuse just to start Christmas early. It's been a miserable year. Have you noticed that though? Apparently everyone's, I've been going around, I've seen lots of Christmas decorations up. People are decorating early because
mine went up this week actually.
What?
Yeah, mine went up on Wednesday.
Steve, you don't have any kids, you live on your own, you're a 9-year-old fella.
No, I'm nearly 40, actually.
Nearly 40, and you're putting your decorations up early?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Megan was determined to buy one of your trees, but Steve has bought a smart tree that costs about, how much is Steve?
It's not a smart tree in there at all.
Wow.
It's all packed in, it's one of these ones, you know... This company, what they call, Steve, they work off a premium model. This is what I'm saying by buying brands and premiums.
They aim at rich people, yeah. They're not...
They charge nice 500 quid for a tree, pretty much, with lights on, don't they? 500 quid, and that's... And yet, somehow, they seem to do it because they charge their brand. They've got all these different trees. They've got nice little slick videos showing you. They're almost real, and they've got lights built in. You can't see the wires and all this stuff. And because of that, they charge an extra 200, 300 quid on top of... Where you can get
they just come ready decorated, Steve.
They're very well made trees, to be fair.
What's it called?
And they
balsam.
Do look very good.
Is it called balsam or something like that? What are they called?
Balsam Hill, yeah.
Balsam Hill, yeah. So anyway, what are you doing?
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah.
But no, I think we're still on for, there's going to be stimulus in America. I think we're still on for a massive Santa rally. I absolutely massive. And AstraZeneca.
Can I just add in one thing we haven't said for months, and I've enjoyed it, the B word. Brexit. That's kind of lurking in the background, and I agree the pension could be a Santa rally and all that's great, although I feel at the moment surely there's going to be a sell-off, but anyway, a Santa sell-off, but anyway,
I see it, don't see a sell-off, see an opportunity, right. And a bit of, if you've got cash, I haven't got any cash, I was saying that last week, have a guess how much cash I got, still the same amount, but £20.78, I'm fully invested because I believe there'll be a rally into the next year. I think this next 12 months will be a very good time for the markets, but European Union officials say 95% deal agreed, which is good news, isn't it?
They're still fighting over the most ridiculous things, aren't they? Fishing and stuff that is utterly pointless.
That's quite important to fishermen.
And yeah, but that's like 0.1% of the whole country's GDP.
Yeah. But my point is that all kind of priced in now? I mean, potentially, could it fuel the rally if things get resolved and it's a half-decent deal and actually could add fuel to the fire? Or am I being overly optimistic? And could that contribute to a sell-off?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be choppy. But I think if you look at the sectors, that's it. Always focus on the right sectors, you know? I mean, if you look at the sectors being hammered down, they're still hammered down. They had a nice rally, but they're still hammered down. And so, where are they? It's really the big. If you look at something like Lloyds, you know, and BT, BT's rallying actually, not BT, EasyJet, I mean, and Hollywood Bowl, they're still hammered down. They've rallied.
Lloyds has rallied in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, so but look at that. If you go back to 2020, Lloyds was at 60 pence. They're now still 35 pence, you know?
Yeah.
So even what's a 20% rally from here? It'd be quite easy. 25%, 30% rally, no problem. 70. They still wouldn't be back to the previous highs. So you took that's a nice uplift in lots of people's portfolios. Everyone sort of, yes, Steve just WhatsApped the picture of his tree. Is that live, pretty much, is that a present picture, Steve? Is that
taken right now? It is, yes.
You got the lights on already. Does it have a remote control?
There we are. It's on my phone.
It's quite smart.
It is a little bit smart. It turns itself on when the house alarm is off.
Right.
When the house alarm is on, it turns itself off.
Can it open the smart front door?
No.
It can actually. It's all linked into the same.
There's a confliction there. Every time he puts the lights on, the door opens.
So you can't have your Christmas tree on.
He shuts the door. The Christmas lights go off. Oh, yeah, what's going on? So either I'll be Christmassy and cold, or you know, or not Christmassy and warm. It's up to me. But
We are so easily distracted. Anyway,
back Brexit.
So what were we talking about?
Yeah,
Lloyds. So 20% rise from here would be like a 7p increase, a 42p or whatever. Yeah, and it was 60p.
I'm going to say something controversial here. I know people holding COVID stocks will hate. I'm saying focus on the sectors that are going to, you know, I talked about my video last week about by the trend. The trend now is changing towards those stocks in a normal economy. The stocks have been hammered down, but they will prosper in a good economy, a normal economy. And those are, like, the banks, hospitality, ledger, all those stocks. This is my third, and I believe this, is the government has ordered lots of testing. They've done lots of testing. They've ordered lots of $42 billion worth of testing. First of all, I think most of those contracts will be done with existing partners already, because that's where most of the money's gone, and they don't have to keep checking them. Say, okay. Second of all, if vaccines are this successful, right, in stopping the virus, why will testing be needed? Because
we don't confirm.
Yeah, but how long will that be confirming for? Because when you invest in a business, you've got to have foresight for next year, 3 years, 5 years. You've got to say this business is going to be better. It's very hard, right, to predict where the market will be in the next week or so. But it's a lot easier to think, where will this company probably be if it carries on doing what it's doing the next year? You can't see the market's going to be next week. It's very volatile. The small news will throw it around. So you've got to have, when you invest in a company, I think you've got to realise a year, you know, to 3 years on the line, you've got to have some kind of transparency. These COVID testing stocks don't have that. And I'm thinking, you know, you don't have testing for flus that much, do we? Massive testing, mass testing for flus vaccines? So there's challenge studies going on. So I don't think there'll be the massive need for testing, will it? If these vaccines are, you know, if they work, will they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, no, probably not. I guess also the other thing, though, is then the uptake of this vaccine. I don't know how big the tin hat brigade are in terms of a proportion of population. And I remember 4 or 5 months ago, we were talking about if a vaccine came along, what are we going to do? Have like a stamp on your forehead going, vaccinated.
Yeah.
So you're allowed on a plane, or you're allowed in a bar, or whatever. I don't know.
The thing is, that's it. I don't think once you're vaccinated, the most vulnerable, because the reason why we're locking down the economy, and this is, you know, some people keep saying I'm not taking the vaccine. I keep saying that what you're missing is this: the reason why we're locked down the economy is because our beds are being overwhelmed, and it's certain parts of the NHS have been overwhelmed with people, and that can't happen, because if that happens, then other people will suffer as well. You know, cancer treatment, any accident, emergency will suffer. Everything will suffer. It'll be a massive knock-on. So as long as we free up and don't over, you know, crowd the NHS with vulnerable people, then we're fine. We can open the economy, because, you know, that's the whole issue we're trying to avoid. So I just think, as long as we can prevent it, you know, happening in vulnerable people, it's fine, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think there was a study a few weeks ago about a percentage of people in each European country that would take it, and Britain was pretty high. It was like 70%.
Yeah, it's close to 70%. France was the one
that was really low. There was only like 40% of French people trusted it, but that's just, you know.
Yeah, it's
very French, isn't it?
Can I throw something else into the ring? What about then, you know, the next pandemic?
No, that's the big question, isn't it? It's going to happen. But if you look at this kind of pandemic, people may say it's going to happen more and more. But yeah, they happen every 5 years anyway, but most of them don't come to anything. This is the first one in, what, like 100 years has actually infected the entire globe. So, but I think now more investment is going to...
Yeah, okay, but being completely selfish for a second and looking ahead like that and thinking ahead, you know, all very well being fully invested and, yes, Santa Rally and there's going to be a rally, and then, you know, what point do you take profit? What point do you actually protect yourself from the next pandemic, i.e. well, when do you get to... Go back to 50% cash. Or, you know,
well, this is why I think you never... No, first of all, I think there'd be more investment, hopefully, because there was last time. I watched that on that Explained Netflix series of pandemics, and they explained...
Yeah.
In 2000, after the last SERS or MERS, there was a global sort of meeting of all the heads of the biggest countries, and they decided to all throw money into, you know, hunting down, investigating future pandemics, and never really materialised. Because, like I say, SERS and MERS SARS and MERS weren't bad enough to warrant ploughing billions of pounds into it. But now we've had this, and it's cost governments around the world trillions. They're going to sort of do something about this. They're going to say, we can't afford to have this happen again. We can't afford to have this happen again in 5 years' time. Because it's going to, you know, if this was bad, if it happens again in 5 years' time before we get recovered, then we're really going to be knackered. So I think there's going to be forward investment into... Because it has been done. That they even... The people go out and test in bats and all that stuff, you know, in China and all that, just saying, okay, there's a new panda. I mean, they've discovered like 100 coronaviruses in bats. Mm. So I think more investment will go into it, you know. But it also makes you
starting
wary.
To think about climate change as well, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably going to kill far more people.
Yeah, yeah. But also you've got to be wary, maybe. Because it happened. I remember it happening when I was working not long ago. I don't know where it was last, SARS or MERS, but I remember EasyJet and all the airlines taking a hit when that first came out, but didn't really come to anything. And that's why the vaccine didn't get done, because they couldn't get enough people in the trial. But, you know.
Was MERS caused by Ollie MERS?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's when Eves came around. There was no coincidence.
Yeah, he ate
Eves,
a bat. Yeah. And then,
no, I think just people, when he got popular, people started feeling ill, listen to his music.
Okay, no further questions.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think Ollie had some bangers.
Yeah, he did, actually, yeah. Two things, right? Two observations. How do you know when a stock is overbought and it's overhyped and it'll never go up further? How do you know that?
When you're going on and on about it.
No, I'll tell you what it is. It's when someone on Twitter changes their... a picture to the logo of the company and they just ramp it nonstop. When you see that happening in any stock, that's it. No people are going to buy that stock, pretty much. If you see that, it's it. And that happens quite a bit.
That's like the shoe shine guy getting into
it. Yeah, be aware of obsessives. That's right. When everyone's into the market, be careful. That's it. Yeah. And that's why the bull bear is contrarian. When most people are bearish, like I said, going back now, looking at that big sell-off in March, that was a massive buying opportunity. You could double your money within a week, you know, on most stocks. And it's gone up further than that.
My nieces were asking about escape rooms the other day. Is that a sign?
Yeah, but yes, I'm not joking, Steve. You are, you know, you're quite an early adopter of stuff, right? A tech, also experiences, because you're a single guy. There's lots of people who've never, ever been to an escape room. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to put on my weekend video. A guy who owns an escape room has bought some shares in Escape Hunt. He said, we are really busy. We want to buy another escape room. It's a growing industry. I'm really bullish on it. And I didn't realize Escape Hunt was a PLC. Now I've bought some shares. I've done much shares. But he said, I want to open up a second escape room. And so that says a lot, doesn't it? I mean, even a guy from the industry. I checked him out. I mean, email with him just to make sure he wasn't a liar and stuff. He showed me the website address of his escape room. Showed a video on YouTube of him taking a tour of his escape room. So he's very bullish on it. So yeah, it's nowhere near mass adoption. When it gets to the stage where it's in 50 cities, which is their target around the country, you know, locations, then that's when it'll, you know, you think, okay, I'll take out my investment now. But that'll be like 5 years on the line. Yeah, we're in early, Steve. Don't worry. It's a good price. Do you know what I like? I was watching this. I often see this on Twitter, Ramp Chat. This is where several shareholders of the company discuss the company in an agreeable but promotional way, and they all pretend to be learning from it, you know? They all know about the company. I saw one the other day, said, just bought some more of this company insert thing here. I think it's only a matter of time before the herd catches on. Second one came in, good work. Didn't the CEO miss it just buy a shed load of shares in it? The third one said, give her a year or two, it'll be a different animal. This one, market cap is tiny. Once the expansion plans start to take effect, fourth guy joins in, expansion's already underway. It's happening. This is disruption. He said, it's rumoured that Sainsbury's is sniffing around. Rumour at this point, but it makes sense. Like four guys. I love that.
The fact is, it could be one person, couldn't it?
Yeah. But I love that kind of promotional chat that they're pretending to learn stuff from each other, you know. But
what are they all talking about? Sounds good. Yeah. What's the ticker?
I know. I think it was Metro Bank, actually. I think it was. But okay. Yeah, I can't see high street banks being popular anymore. Can you really? As we get older.
Metro Bank, what is the drive through such thing for? Why would you drive through a bank? I don't understand that at all.
Robin. Oh, because a couple in America, aren't they? I suppose they're.
Yeah, but what would you do? Just depositing money?
Yeah.
How many people deposit money and have to build a drive-through?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand either. I don't understand
that. Where did you last go to a bank?
Exactly. Well, when I went to Metro in Southampton, there was quite a few people in there. Most of them were either people who were a bit, like my father wouldn't use the internet that much, or people who were a bit. I don't say the word. Younger people who had a third eye, or one eye. There we are. I mean, maybe there's a market for it. I don't know. But look at the figures. I did. It wasn't. So let's go to the target game, the share price target game. I open this up now to all the stocks we own, collectively own, right? So SO4. By the way, don't visit bulletin boards. They follow tinfoil hat wearing maniacs. Never base your. Honestly, they're all ramped. They get really obsessed and their own juices and get worried and they actually de-ramp themselves out of stock sometimes and it's unbelievable. Don't go there. There's on SO4, Solid Potash, there's a lot of worry now about the environmental permitting and the funding close, final sign-off. It's going to happen, right? In fact, I asked Tony, is there any grounds behind this? Listen, as far as the financial the funding is concerned, it's meant to be happening end of this month. It may move on to December, maybe. He said, the problem is, when you're funding a lot of money like this, obviously you have the model, and you just give them the BFS and all that stuff, and they come through and look at the site and all that stuff, and they do all the things. Then, now we're starting to sort of ramp up slowly and put things into organisation. We're starting our commercial ramp up now. They actually see things in real life. So they're comparing the real life to the actual model that was on paper. And if anything's a little bit different, good or bad, it throws up a couple of questions. And so they have to, when you're loaning that kind of money of 150 million or whatever, 200 million, of course, they're entitled to ask questions. End of day, production is going to start mid-February to March. People are starting to worry about small things. Don't worry about that. Look at the bigger picture,
Hasn't the state invested in it, though?
Yeah. First of all, they've got a green label certification, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, part of the funding is from the CEFC, which is the Clean Energy Fund, which is a government source. So it's completely environmentally... But the environmental permitting... is not for the ramp up. They can ramp up to a certain amount of production before they go to full production. They want more lakes. They need more ticks in the boxes. It's going to happen because, like I said, you don't get a government department partly funding it, a clean energy fund funding it for government department and green label certification. And that's not anyway. That's not related to the funding anyway. But there's two issues. People start to worry over small things. Don't worry over small things.
Nothing amazes me anymore with governments. I mean, they could do that, and it'd be like, how ridiculous, how devalue one part of the government with an action by another. That could happen. But, it would seem a little bit silly.
Yeah, but it's pretty much like, as far as a resource company, as green as you can get, pretty much what they do is put water in these, brine water in these big lakes. They evaporate them with the sun, and then the resulting bit, they take all that stuff off, the salt, sulfate of potash, and they grind it down and process it, pretty much, grind it down to powder, pretty much. So you can't get much more. It's not using hardly, not hardly any chemicals. It's water and it's sun. It's like, you can't get greener than that for a resource company.
Well, we've had this discussion, haven't we?
Yeah, and you were wrong. Right, so anyway, so... SO4, and were you wrong again, Pat? When will SO4 hit 40 pence? You said October. You're out of the game on this one.
Didn't say October, which year?
No. That's like Donald Trump argument. December for me, which we're coming into, of course. January for Pete. March for Steve. Let's take it on to the next company, which is going to be in alphabetical order, and not being biased, Escape Hunt. When will it hit 20 pence?
In alphabetical order, after Salt Lake Potash is Escape Hunt.
Well, no, so we'd start with Salt Lake Potash, didn't we? So I'm going to put it back to alphabet, and put Salt Lake at the end. So it's at what? What's it at now? It's at 14 pence. In fact, it rose on the thing, didn't it, on Friday? So, what's it at? It's at 14.3.
One of the few highlights of the week.
Yeah, it's at 14.3. Pad, give us a month. When will it hit 20 pence?
March.
March, right.
What are we on now? Is it 14 at the moment?
14, I just said that, Steve, yes. Thanks.
Oh, did you? Sorry, I missed that, sorry.
Yeah. I'll say March, no, and I say January when we're pretty much open. January. Come on, Pete.
20 minutes. April.
April's a bit beerish.
When do they report?
Oh, it's not for a while, May, man. Steve.
March again.
Paddy's gone for March, he's got that.
Have you?
Come on, try and keep listening to more than the sentence, Steve, if you can.
Okay. So, Saltley Potash, so I'll go for. No, I'll go for February then.
That's like goldfish, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Should we do G-Fin and Pollux or any more? Should we do that next week, right? We'll do that next week. Yeah.
What's happening with G-Fin and T? Should we be selling that?
No. Are you kidding? It's a very hot area, Pad. It's getting hotter and hotter. Listen.
It's just boring. It keeps
this is what I'm trying to do, right? A lot of the times I miss out on stocks is I got impatient. When I've done the research, I realise a 28 million market cap, profitable esports business, this is nowhere near true value at all. Esports,
so why is everyone else selling it?
No, it's not. It's not. If you look at the volume of sales, it's not a lot. It's just hardly any volume because there's no news. Again, it's join the impatient queue, Pad, and you'll miss out, okay? And I've done that so many times. I've just joined the impatient. It's like with Salt Lake Potash. Just don't be impatient, people. Don't look at the minutiae of detail. Let the board get on with that stuff because they've done it before. They've brought massive mines online, and they're talking about proper mines now. And if you don't want environmental issues, proper big mines, iron ore mines, they brought them online in Australia and West Australia. They've done all that, right? Let them get on with the environmental permitting and the funding. All you have to do is sit and hold the stock. That's all you have to do. You know, if you get too worried and impatient, you're going to lose out.
Yeah. How long is the impatient queue? Because I haven't got a lot.
Yeah, not many. People leave it and then then buy another stock. Then So I'm going to say, Pat, it's a hot industry. It's getting hotter and hotter. You know, same like hydrogen. Hydrogen isn't even viable yet. Some people are saying, but look at Paris Energy. Went nuts and. That's another thing. We need to get in the trend of. We need to get this week. I asked about EV. Best exposure to EV play because it's going to be massive now. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. But what's the best exposure? And some stocks have moved already massively. But we've got to find the right. And GFIN's in that sort of esports trend. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to do well. So, so we'll do that. So we did talk.
It's interesting. Obviously Brexit is an absolute car crash and a disaster for our country. But the government's going to have to deflect from it over the next year or so as much as they can. It's interesting seeing Johnson coming up with this green plan that isn't necessarily that green, but like you would hope that that's going to be their focus and their sort of like thing that they're going to try and throw some weight behind now. Even out of the car crash of Brexit, we might see some environmental positives maybe.
I think Johnson is a bit like Trump in the fact is he didn't care about debt. Right, Rishi does a little bit, I think, starting to worry now. like you say, trying to put pay freezes on public sector workers outside the NHS. But Boris wants to build like crazy. He wants to be known for starting the economy and being massive and generating a huge economy and doing really well. And he wants to do that, so he doesn't give a debt. So I think he wants to build massively, and I think infrastructure spending will go up. And it sort of is. I mean, they're still spending. Like on defence, they're spending. They want to build back greener. So it is happening. And if he had his way...
He's also from his time as London Mayor, he's very, very aware of his legacy.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants to be the guy that gets remembered for the thing. Ban is very Johnson. Like, he wants to be the guy that banned cars.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's known for the Garden Bridge.
Yeah, totally. He's got lots of...
He's going to mess up, but he's also going to try things. That's the thing. That's what I quite like. And you're right. The fact that he studied Churchill, wrote a book about Churchill and Churchill's legacy, you know, and that says to you a lot, doesn't it? It says he wants to be remembered in a fair light, in a good light. And so he'll try his best to put behind it. That's why now they're chucking so much money at testing. They're trying to fix the mess they've made with coronavirus because he doesn't want to be left a sour taste in people's mouths. He wants to say, look, they tested the most people. He wants some kind of thing to put up there. You know, we got the vaccine first. I guaranteed, right, as soon as AstraZeneca's trial, by the way, it's been evaluated on the go, on the fly. So unlike, you know, previous clinical trials, at the end, you research all the data, but the MRHA or our medical sort of board, regulatory board, is evaluating right now. So I think as soon as they can pass that, they get phase three out. That'll be out. And that's the big deal. That's 100 million vaccines. I'm sure Johnson wants to put something on the record here that's positive, because there's been a car crash, coronavirus, for the government, and they want to put something positive, some kind of positive spin on it, you know? That's what they want to do.
Yeah, but then you are still going to have, or they are still going to have, the face the problem of paying back all this money and how that's going to happen. And like you say,
don't worry about that.
In the public
sector. Do you know what?
Don't worry about that. What about if they start taxing ISIS?
Yeah, no, they won't do that. I'll get one vote for the men. But do you know what? The biggest mistake I made, though, when investing in small microcap stocks in the UK is worrying about the macro elements of like government debt. Don't bother. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Honestly, it doesn't have any bearing on a small cap stock.
It's utterly criminal, though, isn't it? The saving they're going to make from not giving public sectors workers a pay rise.
Yeah, I think
exactly
it's stupid.
The same
that.
As the
I know.
Money they're wasted paying their mates off.
Yeah, and sometimes they're doing. I know they're ridiculous. I feel like saying, "Don't do that. Don't penalise people. Whatever you do, who are doing good jobs or extensive jobs." Anyway, listen, we've got to go because Steve's going to buy some illegal gear somewhere. He's going to a car boot sale with some illegal gear, and he said, "Don't mention it." He said on the podcast, "Is that right, Steve?"
I just said, don't mention the brand.
Okay, yeah. He got some cheap knockoff gear being sold out of a car boot, and he needs to be there by 5-2 to beat the rush. So there we are.
Okay.
So get your orders in, everyone. So get Steve. Yeah. I don't know what his Twitter handle is, but get your orders in if you want some pants or some socks for Christmas or.
Have we covered everything that was on the agenda?
Broker accounts. We didn't cover broker accounts really, but 212 apparently is free.
And we didn't finish doing the prediction of share price. We're going to do that next week.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. That's a rolling.
That's a tease, isn't it?
That's a rolling feature. There we are.
Wow, awesome.
Lovely. Have a nice weekend, boys. Speak to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
That's like a red rag to the trolls, that podcast. We've literally offended all of the nutcases.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I'll leave that in as well. I'll leave this bit in. Right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.